Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. You just hit us up on that text line, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever is on your mind, time permitting. Joining us now, candidate for state auditor. He's challenging, I guess now, initially wasn't, but is now a challenger for the incumbent state auditor, Andrew Sorrell. But Derek Chin, who announced his campaign on this program, by the way, is with us. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Well, let's talk here. How's the campaign going?
It's going fantastic. I've just really enjoyed getting to travel across all 67 counties, meeting with voters and asking them for their vote for Alabama State Auditor.
Yeah, well, I guess the challenge for you is, at least, I've seen a few of these in my time, but these auditor elections is explaining exactly what the auditor does.
Absolutely. Yeah, oftentimes when I'm on the campaign trail, folks don't know that we have even a state auditor's office in our state, much less that it's an elected position.
Yeah, and talk about that. I mean, what the auditor does, why it's important, why we need to know more about the auditor's office.
Sure. So the state auditor's office is an often overlooked but really important position in our state because the state auditor is in charge of keeping inventory of physical state property that has a market value of $500 or greater. So think computers, desks, drones. And I say drones for a really specific purpose. Many of your listeners have probably been following the drone issue, the Chinese drone phenomena in our country. And something that's really important to me is addressing the drone issue and doing our best to address that in our state. So what's happening is the Chinese Communist Party is heavily subsidizing drone production in China. And they're sending over those drones to our country here for us as Americans to purchase and use for very cheap. So if you go to the store and you see a Chinese-made drone, it's oftentimes several times cheaper than their American-made counterparts. And, the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party is not doing so out of the kindness of their hearts. They're doing so because they want as many of those Chinese-made drones to be purchased and used by Americans so they can collect our data, and all of that data is going back to the Chinese Communist Party. And so I think it's really important that we address that. You know, our state government owns several Chinese-made drones across several agencies. And as day one, as your next Alabama state auditor, I plan to pursue a total and complete ban on those drones and their component parts from the state's property inventory. You know, the state auditor has jurisdiction over overseeing physical state property in our state, and I think it's important that we start there. You know, my family, for your listeners that don't know me, my family's family background is I was born in the U.S. to legal immigrants from Taiwan who fled the threat of communist China. And so, you know, I know firsthand knowing family members that escaped the threat of communist China and the threat that they pose. And it's a really serious threat, Jeff. For the drone issue, it's also really important to note that those drones have often a dual purpose, a military purpose and a civilian purpose. So by purchasing Chinese-made drones, we're indirectly subsidizing Chinese drone research and development, which may one day be used against us here at home as Americans should we get into a hot war someday. So I think it's really important to address that. President Trump is doing a lot on the federal level to address that drone issue. He's really pushed for domestic research and development for the drone issue to further American production. And I think that it's really important that we do our part in the state to try to address that as well.
We'll talk a little bit about that. Where in government in Alabama do we see these drones? Like where would that be applicable in the state of Alabama's inventory?
Well, you know, for example, law enforcement agencies will use drones for law enforcement purposes, and I think there's a very valid and important role in those uses. But we also don't want our data here at home being used to be sent to China.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does the Department of Commerce or like where might, if I'm looking around the state of Alabama's inventory, where would I find these?
Conservation Department, maybe. There's a lot of agencies that use it for law enforcement right. purposes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would have those drones and that needed to be, and that could be a concern. Hey, Derek, and this is, I think, an important question, and I should ask you from the top here, but tell us about yourself and how you got into this racket of Alabama politics and what you've been doing. I got to know you a little bit during Congressman Burns' U.S. Senate campaign, but tell us a little bit about how you wound up here.
Yeah. So I moved to Alabama, to go to law school at Cumberland. I'm a very proud graduate of Cumberland and also, got my MBA from the University of Alabama. I've always been active in Republican politics. You know, I tell folks on the campaign trail, I was born and raised in California, but I have managed to successfully escape the Socialist Republic of California and have successfully made it to the free state of Alabama now. My family, when they first immigrated from Taiwan to the U.S., they settled in California, and that's where I was born and raised. But, you know, I really... I'm so proud to be a proud resident of Alabama because Alabama is just such a great conservative state and I really feel at home here.
Yeah. And so you got into the Alabama politics and, you hear obviously all 67 counties, you're very familiar with the landscape.
Yes, absolutely. I was an early supporter of President Trump back when he was running for the first time during the 2016 presidential election cycle. Many of your listeners probably remember when President Trump first came down the escalator at Trump Tower. I was watching that speech, and as soon as he finished the speech, announcing his run for president, I knew that President Trump was going to be the candidate that I was going to be supporting and was very fortunate and very grateful to have had the opportunity to volunteer for President Trump's first run back during the primary cycle of the 2016 election cycle and have been continued to be involved in Republican politics and Republican campaigns since then and have helped with Republican candidates. But this is my first time actually running myself as a candidate.
Joined by Derek Chidnow. He's a candidate for state auditor in this upcoming election cycle, May 19th. You'll have some choices on the ballot. Hey, let's talk about... let's talk about the office itself, and obviously you're familiar or you would be running for it, but what would you like to do beyond Chinese drones? I mean, is there much that needs to change? How do you feel about expanding the scope and purview of what the auditor does? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. That's actually a really, really good question, Jeff. You know, I think that's something that I would really like to pursue and put our focus on is, there are inventory across our state government. And I really think that we need to put our focus on buying America first, American-made products. And, you know, I think that oftentimes there may be some products that we just don't have the ability to buy made in America just because maybe we don't have the infrastructure here in our country to produce it or manufacture it. But if we are able to buy made in America, I think that our policy should be to prioritize buying made in America products for our state inventory.
Yeah, that there's not already an effort underway. Do you worry that that comes at a significant cost increase or, you know, burden for the taxpayer?
Well, I think that that's something that we need to take a look at. You know, I think that oftentimes maybe there's a product that is in a comparable cost where it's made in America versus made in another country. And I think that if that's the case, we should have a policy to prioritize made in America. Oftentimes the quality of our products are going to be much better and may last a lot longer as well, as opposed to a cheap foreign made product. And in the long run, it might end up even saving money.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that, you know, a better built thing is more durable and it lasts longer. Derek,
yes.
Let's talk about this. And you know, you've obviously been a part of campaigns and you, I've seen you at political events all over the state. But tell me this, you got into this. What's been the biggest surprise for you? What were you when you go to speak to a Republican group or a Rotary Club or whatever the setting? And I'm sure you've been to a lot of these different events over the state over the last sure. You know, almost a year now. What's been the biggest surprise?
You know, I think that we have such a diverse state. I mean, if you look at from the shoals to the shores, we really have such a beautiful and diverse state, and there's so many great folks across our state. But what's really been the surprise to me is just how much we have in common. You know, at the end of the day, well, as Alabamians, you know, we just want to be able to live our lives, and we, you know, we want the government out of our lives, and that's something that's really important to me. You know, when my family fled the threat of communism and the threat of an authoritarian regime, they came to the United States of America, and that's why it's so important that we protect our freedoms here at home, because when they escaped, they escaped to the greatest country on earth, the United States of America. If we lose our freedoms here at home, where do we go? And at the heart of the state auditor's office is it's a government accountability office. And so I think it's really important to put a check on government to preserve liberty and freedom. And it's really encouraging to see folks across our state really just wanting to live their lives, provide for their family, and have the government get out of their way. And so I think it's really important that we check our government and make sure that we don't have an overreaching government, whether it be here in Alabama or anywhere in our country.
Well, tell me, you mentioned you got these Taiwanese roots, and, you know, I've been hearing for a long time, that the Straits of Taiwan, China was going to come. But life there has to be on edge. You never know when the day may come, if it comes, how that's going to look, what that's going to be like. But I assume you still talk to people there. I mean, is it kind of an everyday present threat?
Yes, absolutely. It is an everyday present threat. You know, there's thousands of missiles from China pointed at Taiwan at any given moment. You know, back in the late 1970s, 1979 to be exact, President Jimmy Carter's administration decided that he wanted to switch diplomatic ties from Taiwan's government to the communist Chinese government. And at that time, when that happened, the folks on the island of Taiwan thought that the communists were about to invade them and invade them imminently. If you look back at history throughout the years during this divide, communist China has shelled minor islands off of the coast of Taiwan. So it's an ever-present threat. But, you know, back in the late 1970s when that happened, the folks on Taiwan who could get out tried to get out. And my grandparents applied for visas to come to the United States. And had to wait several years for their visas to get approved. And then my family moved to the U.S. after their visas got approved. But when I was a kid, Jeff, I always wondered, why did it take so long for them to immigrate if everyone thought that the communists were going to come invade them? So at a family gathering, I asked my granddad, I really remember asking my granddad, why did it take so long for you guys to move to the U.S. if the folks on Taiwan thought that the communists were about to invade you guys? And I never forgot what he told me. He said, yes, we were scared. Yes, we were afraid. But what kind of example would I be setting for my kids if we broke the laws of our new country in order to get here? We had to wait for our visas and we had to do it the right way.
Derek, we're out of time here, but before I let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Where can they look?
Yeah, so my website is derekforalabama.com, and Derek is spelled D-E-R-E-K, and they can also find me on social media, Derek Chen for Alabama.
Well, y'all check that out. Derek, we appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I really appreciate you having me on.
No problem. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all